Here we go. Nothing is bigger than this. It is NFL playoff time. It's Super Wild Card Weekend. It's Monday Night Football. It's do or die. You got to win to stay alive. Am I going to be doing this podcast next week? Bucks kickoff podcast? I don't know. I'm just like the players. I don't know. It depends on the outcome of this game. Who's going to win? I don't know. Do you know? No one knows. McCarthy doesn't know. Bowles doesn't know. The GOAT doesn't know. Prescott doesn't know. Jerry Jones doesn't know. But I know this. It isn't any bigger anywhere than here at Raymond James Stadium, Monday Night Football. Big ratings. The world is watching. It's the Cowboys and the Bucks, and we're in the postseason. Hello, this is Bucks Kickoff Podcast on the biggest, best, badass, no better website for Buccaneer information. And that is JoeBucksFan.com. It's week number 18 of games that count. I don't even know if I started this thing during the preseason. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Week one, Bucks and Cowboys. That was so long ago. What have you done for me lately? Oh, I'm going to get into the breakdown. Oh, I've been at one Buck place all week. What I've seen, what I've heard. My opinion on this game changed. It changed on Friday. And I'm also going to tell you about the best place to get a hamburger and a shake and fries and sides. And that would be Burger Monger. I'll tell you about that in a second. If you're in the Tampa area or coming here or you're here for the game, this Monday night game. Oh, my God. Look, you know what? Last week, I know that the Bucks played the backups, but I mean, they were outscored. What was it? 28 to nothing? 22 to nothing? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Your depth sucks. And the Cowboys looked bad, losing to the Washington Commanders 26-6, but none of that matters at all. It's going to be amped up. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to give it to you flat out. When I got, everything was pushed back a day. You had an extra day because it was a Monday night game. For those of you that don't know, and I know most of you do, you're Joe Bucks fans, supporters, so you know. Hell, you know more than I do. Well, I have inside information when I'm at One Buck Place, but a lot of you, you're so knowledgeable. On Tuesday, it's always been like this, is the off day. The coaches stay in the building, they scheme, they tape, they meetings, and then they put on the install. They put in the game plan on Tuesday and Tuesday night. So when the players come to the facility on Wednesday morning, you know, the rookies or the first teamers or the guys in the practice squad, they have to lift first. Everybody lifts. You're supposed to lift. And it starts at 6 a.m. I see the planner on the board every day when I'm in the locker room. And they have meetings all day. They get out of there 6, 7 o'clock at night. But Wednesday, the players come in, and everything is there for them, and they start, and that's the biggest day. It's the install day on what the game plan is going to be for the offense and the defense. Well, this week, a Wednesday was really a Thursday. The Buccaneers had kind of like, it was just basically a walkthrough. Now, Mike Evans spoke, and I think Levante David spoke, and of course, I think it was Bowles. Was it Bowles on Wednesday? No, we had Bowles on Thursday. But all I know is they had an extra day. So when I got there on Thursday, I was driving to the facility, One Buck, and I was like, all right, this is now do or die. They're so fortunate, winning 8 games, 8 and 9, to be in the playoffs. What's the mood going to be like? They're going to be pumped up a little bit more. And I got there. And it was a beautiful morning, and it starts practice, and they're doing their stretching, and the music is going, and I'm looking around like, it really is kind of business as usual. It doesn't look that much different. And they go to their position groups, and blah, 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 and then we get the, you know, I'm in the line, you know, no, that was just limited. And no, we were able to go in the locker room on Thursday, which would have been a Wednesday. And again, it was kind of like business as usual. Golston, we talked to Golston, and Golston was like, oh, some of these guys that haven't been to the playoffs before, they're going to see it. The speed is just really amped up, really amped up. All right, so he's giving a little insight. Other guys are saying the right things, but still I wasn't sure. Then Todd Bowles had a really good point. He's like, it's only a Thursday, which would be our Wednesday. You can't get too hyped up and amped up on Thursday. You still have Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and then you got to wait all day Monday until Monday night and then ready to go, so you can't get too hyped too early. So I was like, okay, all right, I see that. But when I got to the facility on Friday, that was the day that Brady is going to talk. He always talks on a Thursday. And when I was watching the practice, it just seemed like to me the page was turned. Like it was, the switch was on. Like you could feel it. You could feel it. You could feel it in the building. I could feel it walking in the hallways. I looked into the cafeteria. Once we got into the locker room, now they were playing the pop darts, and it was, again, Scotty Miller's running it. He loves it. And Gage and Perryman and who else was over there? But when you went around and talking to some of the players, Anton Winfield, like his dad was a cornerback in the NFL. That's why it's Anton Winfield Jr. and Senior. And he's like, you know what? My father called me up the other day and he was just like, son, congratulations. It doesn't matter how you got there. You're in the playoffs. That's what every player in the NFL, you go through all your offseason workouts and everything. You're in it. You're in it now. Congratulations. And he was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. And then Anton Winfield was saying, like, we don't even know if we'll be back in this locker room or practicing next week. Like, it's a different vibe. And they got it. Like, I felt it like they got it. I mean, I was on a Dallas Cowboys tag, Cowboys Cave podcast on Thursday night, I believe. And I was telling those guys, like, look, man, it was kind of business as usual. And I know the Cowboys won 12 games for a reason. And it's good, you know, they should be favored in this game. And I don't know if the Buccaneers, they have let me down so much. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it done, really. Because every time I think they're going to win, they lose. And it's been like that all year. But I'm telling you, being in that building on Friday, it changed. It changed the way I'm thinking. And the way Brady, I showed the video, it was only like a 9-second clip. The way he walked into that press conference with this air of confidence, it was just like a quiet confidence. And once again, I made sure during practice that I watched from afar Brady and the QBs when they were doing their throwing. And he does not look like Father Time hit him. Same thing. He looks good. He was doing all of his movements. You know, when he didn't throw the one day, he's going over the bat in between, in and out of the bags and doing all footwork and everything. Still working. They're all in. And there's no more tomorrow. And like, I could feel like they got it. So I really think, man, it's going to come down to line play. It always is. You know, it always is going to come down to the trenches and all that. But I think the defense, the Buccaneer defense, is going to be able to keep them in the game. I don't see Dallas just like running away with this. So the fact that it's going to be a tight game, I think with the weapons that Brady now has, I think they're going to be able to get it done. Now, earlier in the week, I was talking with Lee from Joe Bucks Fan. And I said, what do you think, Lee? Now, this was early in the week. And he goes, I think it's one more game. I said, I'm not that confident. Again, that was early in the week. Lee, if you are listening, I am with you. I think there is going to be one more week. And I'll tell you a little funny story. I know I always do my under the rock and behind the scenes segment, but I got to tell you this funny story. I'm so thankful that I actually wasn't on the air on Friday because I'm in the locker room. We're waiting for somebody to talk to. And I look over at Brady's locker and I look down. Now, his locker is very, very neat. His stuff's on a hanger. It's like he doesn't have a lot of stuff there. And he has his cleats like all the players do. And they're lined up on the bottom, you know, just one on top of the other. And I didn't see any cleats. This is on Friday. And I'm like, holy shit. Brady cleaned out his locker. Like, where's his cleats? You know? Oh my God. Should I even tell Sage? Sage is walking around, or Ira Kaufman, looking for people. He's getting inside information. He's doing his thing. Should I tell anybody else what I'm seeing? I think, no, I'm not saying anything, man. This is mine, you know, boom, boom. And I'm so glad that I was not on the air right away and say, oh, I got a secret here. Brady doesn't have any of his cleats in the locker. Well, we interviewed somebody, interviewed a couple people, and then I was ready to head out. And I was heading out and I looked over one more time and then I looked at the locker next to the goat. And it just has there. The lockers are engraved in wood on top of everybody's locker. This isn't like a nameplate or anything. It's really cool. Once you get your own locker, it's engraved in cursive in wood at the top. And the lockers that are empty say Tampa Bay Buccaneers in cursive. Well, right next to his locker, it's empty. And I looked down and there was the goat's cleats. It's all there. So he didn't clean out his locker. He's not looking towards next year, even though he's got to know, kind of have an inkling, I would think. So there's no breaking news there and inside information inside the locker room. But I thought, is Brady already looking to get out of here for next year? So we don't know. But very, very, very confident the aura that he kind of gave off when he came in here. All right, I am going to break this bad boy down. And I am going to give you a little bit more insight under the rock. But before I do that, I want to thank Burger Monger. They've been with us here at Joe Buck's Fan all season long. And Burger Monger has the best Chop House burgers and Barstool shakes. They got a couple of locations here in the Tampa Bay area in St. Pete, Wesley Chapel, and Safety Harbor. Their burgers are just so good, man. It's a blend of ground chuck and sirloin beef, and they're hand-pressed on the grill. And you can get all the toppings and the cheeses. They have delicious sides, natural cut fries, sweet potato waffle fries, house-made hand-battered onion rings. Their shakes are just out of this world, man. Very vanilla, simply strawberry, chocolate fudge, cookies and cream, Snickers Supreme, and caramel crave. And they also have amazing chicken sandwiches that nobody really knows about at Burger Monger. A larger marinated chicken breast, it's grilled or fresh breaded, or you can get it deep fried to order. So you've got that. I believe they still have the LFG burger. It's basically two patties, 12 ounces of beef. 12 ounces. It's the LFG burger. You got the chopped lettuce, the provolone, the applewood smoked bacon, the fresh avocado slices. They got a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing on top. It's so good. It's so filling. And it's only $12. And it's Burger Monger. Go there. You will be glad. I guarantee it. I got it. Win or lose, I'll be making a Burger Monger stop this week. Alrighty. Let's get down to it. Let's get to some basics, shall we? Now, the Dallas Cowboys looked bad last week. They did. But the Buccaneers sucked with their backups in. Even though in defense, Joe Tryon Shoyinka was still there. Anthony Nelson was still playing in the second half. And Nacho, I guess he's not really a starter or a backup. But basically, it was backups. But they were bad. But the Cowboys, now I'm trying to figure this out, man. Was it just one? Is it kind of like a fluke? Just that one game thing? Because prior to the Cowboys loss to Washington last week, Dallas was averaging 36 points a game. I mean, putting up points in droves. What was last week? Was it an aberration? They were against the Commanders. Sometimes I still call them the Redskins. The Commanders with 10 starters and one first-time starter at quarterback, Washington. The Cowboys scored their fewest points since week one. That game when they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 19-3. That was their worst showing since then. It was the second fewest points by the Cowboys in the past, I think it was like, I'm not mistaken, 68 games. They only had 182 yards on offense. That was the fewest for Dallas in their last 34 games. Now, the concern for the Cowboys, or the positive for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but again, the Bucs have to take advantage. It's really been a plug and play offensive line. They only have one of the starters, the right guard. He's a Pro Bowler, Zach Martin. That's been good. They could have a different. They could have their center Tyler back, but their rushing attack. And I know if you haven't been watching the Cowboys, and they consider both of their running backs like one, Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard. Now, those are talented backs, but in the last five games, Elliott and Pollard have declined 3.8 yards per carry in the last four. Last week, 2.4 yards per carry. The longest carry that Dallas had was by Dak Prescott, 9 yards when he was scrambling. And here's what the Washington Commanders did on defense. And I'm wondering if Bowles is gonna do. You know he's been watching this film. The Washington Commander linebackers were very aggressive. They lined up very close to the line and they were shooting through gaps. And they were forcing Dak Prescott to throw it and to hurry it. And he had to scramble at times. He could not stand in the pocket. And he was off target. There were times where he was high. Sometimes he was throwing it too hard. Now, if you just looked at the numbers, Dak Prescott was only sacked one time, but he was pressured. And I think that's going to be a key. Now, the Buccaneers do not have the sack master, Shaquille Barrett. They had him in week one. But again, week one was so long. What have you done for me lately? So you got to pressure. You got to try to throw him off. Throw him off his game, like what's been happening to him lately. On the other side, I know a lot of outlets are making a big deal about Tom Brady being 7-0 lifetime against the Cowboys. And if you look at it, he has just throttled. He has, in those seven wins, Brady against the Cowboys, Brady has 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and damn near close to 2,000 yards passing. But you know what? There has been some stats this year where Brady has done X against an opponent, and then he's broken that streak and not done well. So, put as much pressure or as emphasis as you want on that. There's two ways to look at it. Oh, my God, he's so good against the Cowboys. He's going to do that again. Or sooner or later, the Dallas Cowboys are going to have to beat Brady one game, right? Right? I honestly don't have concerns with the Buccaneers. We know that they've been bad in a lot of categories. I am concerned, though, with the center spot. And I know a lot have asked me. I was on shows this week, and Ryan Jensen hasn't had a snap. Do you think Ryan Jensen could just come out and ball out for an entire game when he hasn't played at all? And I know they still have a decision until Wednesday, I believe, of this week, whether or not to activate him off of IR. The window is closing. If he doesn't play in this game, they still might want him. If they win this one and get to the next game, Robert Hainsey had the hamstring. And he had been practicing, so I am assuming, as of this taping, that Hainsey is going to be the guy. Luke Getteke at left guard could be your guy. And no, it does concern me. It does. Against this Dallas Cowboys front. However, if you go to week one, Luke Getteke was really raw, and he did play every snap. And that was on the road when you can't hear and you got to use this silent count. And he did a damn good job. The offensive line did protect Brady. So, because Leverett has really been banged up. who had done a good job. So it's somewhat of a concern for me. But just watching Brady, it's going to be like, look, I don't care what is hurting you right now. This is my last chance here. I'm going for the ring. That's why I play. He's been very confident this week. His look, his stride, everything. Not that he ever isn't, but really so. So it's like, you better ball out if you're in there. And I, you know, with Dallas, there's a lot, there's more. I think that there is more pressure on the Cowboys for this game than the Buccaneers. But just being around the Buccaneers, like they're feeling it, man. It's lit. They're amped up. They don't want to go home and clean out your locker on Tuesday with the big garbage bags, and it's so depressing. I was talking to reporter Greg Allman. He was like, yeah, you know. I said, what do you think, guys? I was going to, you think this is the last time we're going to be in this locker room at $1? Because the game, it's at Raymond James Stadium, and that's a different locker room. Is this it? This is on Friday. You think this is it? Because Saturday it was outside. And Allman was like, you know, I remember one year, it's so different. But remember, they got to clean out their lockers with all the garbage bags they bring in. He's one year, Jameis was walking around, he had this hat that was pulled down. I'm like, that's a depressing sight. You know, I don't even know if I want to even be there. You know, how depressing is that? Your season is over. Anyway, I'm not kidding. That's for another day. But I'm trying to figure out with the Cowboys, was it just one game? I would look at it like, look, Dallas won 12 games. They're good. And we gotta be at our top. I'm not looking too much. But, I mean, because let me give you some stats. Dak Prescott's quarterback rating in the loss last week to Washington, 45.8. That was his QB rating, 45. All season, when he's played, Prescott's QB rating is 95.8. All right, last week, Dak Prescott's completion rate, 37%. Dak's completion rate all season, 69%. Dak last week in that terrible performance against Washington, his average gain per attempt, 3.5 yards. Dak Prescott all season, his average gain per attempt, 7.7 yards. So, I mean, you know, don't get too confident if you're a Bucs fan on the Cowboys sucking coming into this thing. Because, look, you think they were really world beaters? Oh, the first drive looked good. What did Brady and the offense do after that? You know, and here's another thing with the Cowboys. I don't know if you're aware of this. Like, here's their pattern. They lose a game. That was the opener to the Bucs, and then they win four in a row. Then they lost a game, and then they win two in a row. Then they lost another game, and then they won four in a row. Then they lose a game. Then they win two in a row. And then they lost last week. The Dallas Cowboys have not lost a back-to-back game all season. I'm not saying that it can't happen. It can't happen. So, okay, let me give you a little behind the scenes, okay? Because you can look up all these stats with everybody, anywhere, okay? The walkthrough was on Tuesday. No, the walkthrough was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. All I know is the day that they had, like, the full practice, that was on Thursday. Bruce Arians, when he got in his golf cart, and I made note of this, he drove as fast as you could drive those things and made a beeline to Byron Leftwich. And he talked to Leftwich again the whole time. He's in his ear. And Leftwich is getting, you know, bouncing stuff off him. Clyde Christensen is hysterical. When the gates open and we walk in to watch practice, all season, like, Clyde is out already out where the quarterbacks are. And Trask is always the first one out. And then later it's Ryan Jensen. Or Ryan Griffin, and then usually Gabbert and the GOAT together, or sometimes Gabbert's out there and then the GOAT runs out. But Clyde's usually out there. Then I noticed towards the end of the season, Clyde is sitting down on one of the tables outside at One Buck. And then he sees us, the media, and then he gets up, time to work, and then he gets out. He's got his big, long sheet. He has a sheet every day, you know, of what they're going to do for practice. They're going to change things up. And then the last couple of weeks, he's just sat there, and then he talked with another reporter. And then this week, he just sat there. He just sat there. He's looking around, looking around. And then finally, okay, stretching is over. And then it's time. And then he's going to go out there. But again, yeah, Brady ran out with Gabbert. All the drills I watched. Brady's arm, it looked sharp. It looked good. When they had to throw into that little circle in the net, it was right there. When he was throwing to the coaches down the right sideline, left sideline, in between the dummies, it was right there. It was on target. So I don't think you have to worry about that. Because it just drives me crazy when people are comparing him to quarterbacks where their arms were just washed up. That's not the case. It's not the case. As he progressed. Well, anyway. Then we get to, okay, the O-line, Hainsey, Donovan Smith. That's another good thing. Big Donovan on the left side. He's going to have a tough. Micah Parsons. Oh, my God. Guy is so freaking good. He is so freaking good. But worse, they're healthy. Healthy as they've been. They're more healthy. That is a damn good sign. And I'll break it down. I looked at some stats in the Pro Football Focus and how he's graded down. Donovan's done better, much better the last couple of weeks. I saw owner Joel Glazer walk out. He talked with Arians, and then he was on the phone. And then the offensive line, that's what we were really interested in seeing. They were practicing the farthest away from all of us, way far behind these big trees, so we could barely see them. Devin Tompkins, both days, he's the only returner on the time that we're there, we can watch. So they found the returner. They like this kid. Because I said during their season, it would be Jalen Darden, sometimes Scotty Miller. Every time I'm there anymore, last couple of weeks, it's just Devin Tompkins. And then once I got to there on Friday, everything was amped up. They realized the magnitude. Once again, Arians is over talking to Leftwich. Leftwich was doing this thing. I don't know if you saw the video that I put out, but it was like shadow boxing, and then he was using the tackling dummies and as if he was hitting the heavy bag. And I was like, is he going to give him a puncher's chance? Do I do something sarcastic on him? No, I didn't. But anyway, and then Brady, the one thing that I took, I think it was Sage, might have been Sage. Sage threw a nice stat. Another thing that Brady is just incredible with one of the stats. You know, there's so many. But Sage had a good one. And I think that was when Brady answered, like, I'm very fortunate to have played with a lot of good guys, and I was fortunate to play at this time of year and then win some big games. Like, that kind of stood out to me. This is what Brady plays for. You know, there's some other guys that might talk a good game and, yeah, we're in the playoffs and this and that, but they're like, it's another week. Yeah, it's going to be amped up a little bit more. Yeah, I got to be on my game. But when Brady was talking on Friday, because I was right in there in that room, looking at his eyes, it was like, I'm fortunate to play in these games and then have big games. You know what I mean? This is when, if he's still the GOAT, this is when you see the best of Brady. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out if Father Time is creeping, because this is what Brady, this is what he does. Let's see. Now, I know Jerry Jones, I've been getting asked a lot about Mike McCarthy. Now, Jerry Jones does a weekly segment on a Dallas radio station. And when Jerry Jones was on his radio show this week, he said that Mike McCarthy's job, the outcome of this game does not hinge on whether or not McCarthy is going to come back. You know, now, is he going to say that? I mean, he's got to be like, I'm in his corner. I have him. I don't know. If they look as bad as in this game to the 8-9 Buccaneers, and if they look as bad as they did against the Washington Commanders, And Sean Payton is out there. Is he really going to bring back Mike McCarthy? But I'm not too concerned past that. I'm only concerned about this game. But remember, Cowboys, they weren't they 12-5 last year? And they were 0-1 in the playoffs last season. All right? Another thing that I think that is huge for the Buccaneers is Vita Vea, who really, he actually, to me, when I've seen him out there, now again, I'm not a doctor. He's looked okay. He looked like he could actually play, but now he really is ready to go. So Vita Vea and Akeem Hicks together, that's a duo. That is a formidable duo that those two are going to be playing together. And Vita, if you want to be known, you're a big man, you're quick on your feet, you've got the fast twitch, if you want to get your name known, this is the time to do it now, postseason. So let's see Vita Vea with Akeem Hicks get to, you know, stopping the run and getting in and shooting some of those guys, getting in there and try to get to Dak Prescott. Now, going back, I don't like to, but what the hell? I got to give you the content, right? Going back to week one, the Buccaneers... They pressured Dak Prescott, and then Prescott, remember, heard, and then Cooper Rush. I looked it up. The Buccaneers in week one pressured Dallas quarterbacks 40% of the snaps. Prescott was 4-for-10, 60 yards. Devin White had 2 sacks. Vita Vea had a sack opening day. Anthony Nelson had a sack. But also remember, they don't have Shaq Barrett this time. They also, Bucks had 1 pick, Antoine Winfield Jr. How often will Bowles blitz? I think it depends on whether or not the Buccaneers jump out to an early lead. It all depends on how the game is going to shake out. You know, I know that when, and it's been like this for years, like the coaches always have at least 10 game plays scripted for every game, at least. I know they've always shared that with the broadcast team when they have those meetings. But not everything goes according to script. You may be third and long in your third play, and that might not be exactly what you... So it depends on how the game goes, on how much Bowles is going to be blitzing in this game. All I know is on offense, the Buccaneer offense has to come through. There's no going down, nice long drive, and shitting yourself, and on third down, and then you got to go for the field goal. That ain't going to work in the postseason, and that isn't going to work in this Monday night game, okay? And Brady, Tom, you've got Evans. You finally connected long ball with him. Evans is in a much better mood. Evans is getting healthy. Godwin is much healthier. Much further along than he was, especially early in the season. So you got Evans, you got Godwin, you got Gage. It looks like you got Julio. Julio, go until you blow out your knee or your leg goes. Give it 110%. You've got Lenny, Rashad White, and you've got Cade Otton. And here's the other thing. Go deep, you know, go deep. Go deep. Take that shot. Because even if you don't connect with Evans, a lot of times you're going to get that flag. You know, or, you know, at least that's the way it's been. Are they going to hold the flag in the pocket? Are they going to let him play a little bit more? Or is it still going to be tight? It's been tight all year. So you got to take at least a couple of deep shots early. Otherwise, they're going to be sitting back. And the thing about it is, I think at this point, like, Brady is so smart. He's wanted to play every snap, and he did, all the way up until this last game, and then they finally went to Gabbert and then to Trask. But he's wanted to stay on the field. The only chance they have is with the GOAT. Now, it looks like he's actually hanging in there a little bit longer, and there is no tomorrow. So even if he knows that defensive lineman or the linebacker or the outside linebacker and the edge guy is coming at him, he's more likely to stay in there one half of a second longer to go take that deep shot. because again, you got to go all out. You know, you've seen Brady, now it's tell Brady, Brady knows that. So I think that's something a lot of people aren't bringing up. Can the Buccaneers defense create turnovers? They will have healthier corners now. Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean. And that would allow Bowles to blitz and trust his coverage. I think that's why he wasn't blitzing as much, because you got to trust your corners and your DBs, and they've been banged up and they hadn't been that good. Now, Carlton Davis on Friday, when he was walking through the locker room with his shirt off, he did have one of those tape jobs. It's like black tape, but it's tape and a bandage, kind of like a spider type thing over his shoulder. He's nowhere near 100%, but he's a hell of a lot healthier. And an 85% Carlton Dean is better than anybody else. And because there's no tomorrow, you give it all out. So I think that that's a good thing. And Jamel Dean was telling us this week that he remembers the question was about the turnovers. And he's like, man, I remember that Super Bowl year. I remember down the stretch. I remember even in the Super Bowl game. Once we got a turnover, we came back to the bench and we're like, all right, let's get another one. Let's get another one. Who's going to get the next one? Who's going to get the next one? They haven't had that mindset. They haven't had that mindset. Maybe, and if they get one early, maybe they get that mindset again. Get that mindset again. It comes in bunches. You see what I'm saying? And so there you go. There you go. There is one thing that I'm going to warn you if you're going to this game. I know the majority of you are going to be watching it on the big screen. There is going to be a lot of Cowboys fans at Ray J. Now, I don't know where I saw it. Most likely I saw it on Joe Buck's fan, because they see everything. But it was about midweek, and I read where StubHub, according to StubHub, the Bucks-Cowboys game is the highest-selling super wildcard game for reselling. They had over 5,000 tickets up for resale. That wasn't happening in other wildcard home stadiums, which tells me that Buccaneer fans were selling their tickets. And I'll tell you, my mailman, I go out to get the mail and he always wants to know the inside, what's going on there. He's also a Lightning season ticket holder. And he's always asking me, he's like, oh, I'm selling my tickets. Oh, my son, he's selling his tickets. We're in the 300 level. And I said, really? He's like, yeah, man, they disappointed me all year, you know, and I know I can get Cowboys fans that are coming down that got some money. We're going to make some money. We're on the third level, not high up, but like three or four rows from the railing, and we're selling our tickets. I go to my local watering hole. I heard two people say they're selling their tickets. They're in the 300 level. I'm like, damn. So anyway, it's a little warning just to throw it out there. And I'm going to be walking around pregame. I'm going to be there so many hours early tonight, Monday night. Oh my God. You're going to see a lot of Cowboys fans. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Here's a question I got. Will the GOAT take advantage of the Cowboys secondary? Because they've got young corners. The veterans that they had were really not much better. Will Brady take advantage of that? The Cowboys have been allowing pass plays of 20 plus yards or more the last 5 weeks. They've been allowing that. And you know Brady has studied. Oh, my God, has he studied. He's studying like crazy for this one. I would like Brady to test Mike Evans early. And like I said, even if you don't connect with him, you might get that pass interference call. Dak Prescott, on the other hand, and they haven't all been his fault. I looked at all of his interceptions. He's thrown 15 picks. And remember, he sat out 5 games. So you're kind of in Jameis territory here. Dak led the Cowboys to an 8-4 record as a starter. Despite those picks, he's also made some bad decisions, and he's also hasn't had help. because not all of them. That was what Jamelle Dean was telling me. He's like, not all those are Dak's fault. Like, he's still good. And he goes, he's actually kind of protecting the football pretty good because they study it like crazy. So going into this game, the Buccaneers' defensive players are going in with the mindset that we can't let Prescott beat us because he's still very, very good. And again, Jerry Jones reiterated this week he has complete confidence in Mike McCarthy. Would you expect him? Would you expect Jerry to say anything else? Really? No. Let me give you a couple of keys, a couple of my keys to this game. I'm telling you what, I am hyped because I hope that I'm going to get to go back to One Buck this week and report for you guys and see what's going on. I want to go into a winning locker room or be standing down there in Raymond James Stadium, and when they come off that field and seeing that, there's nothing like it, man. And, you know, but it's just like the players. This is it. Is the football season over for the Bucs or the Cowboys? Remember, the Cowboys had a travel here. Anyway, Dak Prescott, back-to-back opponents, the Cowboys opponents these last two games have had really nothing on the line. What did Prescott do against the Titans? A bad Titans pass defense. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Last week against Washington, their secondary, a 45.8 rating. Dak Prescott, 128 yards, 14 of 31, 32. He was only 3.5 yards per attempt. I mean, come on. And you're going to be going up against a Buccaneers defense. They've not been very good with the interceptions this year. I looked it up. The Buccaneers are 24th in the NFL with only 10 picks. Now, Jamelle Dean, Carlton Davis, they've done a decent job. Sean Murphy Bunting has done a decent job. And the running attack, I mentioned earlier on, Pollard and Zeke, they are both less than 3 yards per run these last couple of weeks. Dak Prescott has gone 7 games in a row throwing a pick. Now, CeeDee Lamb is a beast. CeeDee Lamb is damn good. I think he's got something like over 1,300 yards, over 100 catches, 9 touchdowns. One guy to watch out for is their tight end, Dalton Schultz. Now, he had been hurt for a time this season. He's got 5 touchdowns. Watch him when they get in the red zone, 577. Also, Dak Prescott, he likes to throw to Tony Pollard in the passing game coming out the second half of the season, you know, lately. Like, I'm going at, what have you done for me lately? He likes to hit him there. The Dallas Cowboys offensive line doesn't allow a lot of sacks, but they do allow pressure. Now, how does Prescott, and we'll also see Brady, how do they do when they're up against the blitz? Well, I got some stats for you, okay? Dak Prescott versus the blitz, 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, all right, when he's got a blitz. 94 QB rating. Brady versus the blitz, phenomenal. 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, 102.5 QB rating. Brady, go ahead, bring the blitz. Brady gets rid of it, and he's gonna have success. So I doubt they're going to try to blitz him. The Cowboys defense, they send an extra player in, you know, to bring it 27% of the time. There's 4 Dallas Cowboys with 6 sacks or more, and they're led by Micah Parsons, number 11. He had 2 sacks of Brady going back to that week 1 game. So that's something to just watch. It'll be fun to watch, you know. Mike Evans against Trayvon Diggs. That's going to be good to watch. But what I'm looking forward to seeing is Brady just not just these dump offs. Hit Mike Evans. Hit Godwin across the middle. Hit Gage. Julio. Let's go, Julio. Make something of this season. You're one of the all-time greats. Finish strong. Come on now. You've had enough rest. Lenny, Rashad White. Here's the thing about Lenny. I have watched Lenny at practice and walking around. Lenny is a fun-loving guy. Always talking, always busting balls, always wanting to challenge a Mike Evans or someone to a 40-yard dash, always screwing around, always yelling out, I've seen a little different Lenny. And Lenny did an interview this week. It was either an interview or something on social media where he said that a lot of lessons were learned, but he's basically like looking forward to this postseason. I think Lenny wants to prove that he's not slowed down, washed up. The Bucs running attack is the worst in the NFL. You think that doesn't bother him? He got all the money. He's known Leonard Fournette. That's a big name. And they're last. They're dead last. That doesn't sit well. And I know you can go to Leftwich, you can go to bad. They don't scheme the run attack, which they don't, and all this and that. But all I'm telling you is, looking at Lenny, watching Lenny now, the last 2 weeks, and especially this week, he's got something to prove. And Rashad White is going to be getting better and better and better. But he is going to notice. Nobody can tell him this. This kid is going to notice, holy crap. This defensive front, these linebackers, how fast they're at a different pace. Rashad White, you've seen nothing like what you're going to see here at Raymond James Stadium under the big lights because it's playoff time. The Buccaneers have been so bad. And I don't mean bad to the bone. I mean what Dak Prescott, you know what Dak Prescott called his performance last week? Shitty. That's what the Buccaneers have been on third down. They are 21st. I thought they were worse. They're 21st in the NFL at 37%. In the red zone on third down, the Buccaneers are 22nd in the NFL. Now, what about the Cowboys defense? Cowboys defense, when opponents have third down, they're 9th. In the NFL. Pretty good. The Cowboys defense on third down when an opponent is in the red zone. They're 9th. Pretty damn good. So it's, you know, you better not be bad on third down in this game. You better not be able to convert in the red zone in this game. And if it does come down to the kickers, the field goal kickers, Ryan Succop, he's 31 for 38. Good. But he's had 5 misses from 50 yards or more. He does not have a strong leg. And Brett Maher is 9 of 11 from 50 yards plus. His long was 60, 29-32. So if it comes down to a long field goal, put your money on Maher and the Cowboys. And if it comes down to a long field goal for suck up, he might suck it up. Okay? There you go. Listen, I got a whole bunch more notes. You know what? I'm at 50 minutes here, guys. You know, I mean, it is a week-to-week game. It really is. And you know what? I got all the... Here's the thing that I did notice. It is week to week, and they know if they lose, they got to pack up their lockers and then they head home. Okay. And Brady said it, no team is going to be happy. The only team's going to be happy is the one that's winning and walking off that field, and it's going to be in Arizona where the Super Bowl is held, in the desert, in the valley. They'll be the only ones that are going to be happy for the season. Nobody's happy when you end your season on a loss. A lot of the players were telling me on Friday, like when everything was flipped, like it was just a different vibe. It was lit. It was amped up. I could feel it. They were all like, it doesn't matter what we did. It does not matter. It is a new season. It is a one game new season. I got that vibe from everybody. Because prior to that, it was like, oh my God, you guys are so bad on third down. What's the deal? Or, you know, you haven't been getting a lot of the turnovers, or you're not getting to the quarterback, or you haven't been able to stop the run, or God, you guys are bad in the red zone. You know, what's that? There was none of that this week. It was like, this is a new season. It is a new season. So I'm hoping I'm not being homerism here. I think I'm going to agree with Lee. See, I'm saying I think because, well, why should I be confident that they're going to flip it right now? But damn, they played good in Munich. God dang, that was good. Dang, when Brady hit Mike Evans for the 3 long touchdowns. Damn, they showed that they can do that. And I don't know, I'm just seeing this air of confidence. I think Brady does, this is when he's at his best. And his arm to me looks good. I see the Buccaneers pulling this one out. I do. So look, let's enjoy it. As I tell you every week, let's enjoy every snap, man, because we're at the end. We're at the end of the season here. And thank God we're still got this game. It is going to be lit. Monday night, the lights, the stadium, the energy, the vibe. It's the only game in town. That's why the network, that's why they put on the America's team and Brady the GOAT. The ratings are going to be through the roof. And I'm hoping that I will talk to you next week and do this bad boy again on the biggest, baddest, badass Buccaneers information, news, website in the world, joebucksfan.com. You know what, guys? I'm feeling it. I'll talk to you next week.